All right, it's good. Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast. My name is Brock Dittus,
and
this is where we are simplifying the good life.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm Brandon Rhodes.
And we are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat
irreverent conversation
about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
We're covering everyday simplicity, food, life, alternative transportation, bicycles, variegated, interspersed, what have yous.
Yeah, and those of you out there who cannot see us right now would not know that we did that all from memory because we didn't have our cue cards. And I think at 30 episodes, we almost know what we're doing, which is kind
arts
of exciting.
Arts, culture, there we go. That.
Yeah. The internet, lolcats, and various things of that nature. So,
where did lolcats come from?
It's my favorite thing to reference. I don't even know. I've never been to lolcats. It's a website, right?
That's what I hear. I haven't been to it either.
That's just a thing. I think that's my.
It's a zeitgeist.
It's my number. Mm-hmm. It's my number one go-to internet reference. So,
double rainbow.
That's what does it all mean? Yeah. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Got to introduce John Boblett, who's sitting here in the studio with us. He's joined us to talk about Portland Pedal Lounge. We'll get to that a little bit later, but I wanted to introduce you so that you can join in the bullshitting immediately if you so choose.
Thank you. I'd be happy to, and I can testify that you were not reading any of that material.
Well, and
thank you.
It's the word of John Boblett that really confirms and makes that the truth and all that we wanted it to be. So thank you, sir, for providing that for us. We appreciate
it. You're completely welcome.
Brandon, what did you do this last weekend or week that was very exciting?
Well, the whole week I was up in Seattle, Washington.
That's right.
With my annual school's college retreats. So it's a dispersed program, and we all get to see each other once a year and hang out and drink a lot and laugh and catch up and learn some things too. So
yeah,
it was a really good time.
I remember you sent me a text message like the first day or two that you were there, and you're like, Seattle is awesome.
It's an awesome place.
Which it is, yeah. I haven't been in a long time, so.
Yeah, I loved it. The my school dollars, my tuition dollars, have already paid for all the food I was going to eat.
That's nice.
So whenever we went out for food, I got like $35 plates of salmon.
Wait.
And
So your tuition is paying for you to go out to dinner?
Yes, they want us to have a really good time together.
That's so fantastic. I think
I think one meal, the alcohol and that combined, was like about $55. Well, the alcohol was not paid by my tuition. But
all right. That was paid for by you.
No, the head of my program actually said, I love you guys. Everybody's booze is on me. And that was 15 people's booze.
So. Oh, what a guy.
No kidding.
And that's multiple rounds of booze, I would assume.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
that must be a college professor with deep pockets.
That's
fantastic.
He's widely published.
Yeah.
Yes.
I spent my week going to, first of all, it's Pedalpalooza, kicked off last Thursday.
Yes.
And John, you're familiar with the Pedalpalooza, I assume.
I am. Yeah. I am indeed.
Have you participated in any of those things yet?
Yesterday, the Cirque du Seguilang.
Oh, yeah. That's on Mississippi Avenue,
up
right?
Up on Mississippi, right.
Yeah, it's one of those new up-and-coming neighborhoods here in Portland.
Yes, it sure is. We were in the parade yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And you were there with the special rig?
The special rig?
The pedal lounge?
Oh, yeah. We were there. Yeah, we sure were.
Okay, yeah. The Cirque du Cycling, yeah. I've always heard about it and wanted to go because there are all manner of fantastic bicycle contraptions, I think, that I have seen in pictures. There was one in particular that I saw that was like one of those old, I don't know if they were Schwinn or just like one of the old style cruisers that looks like a motorcycle. Looks like it has a gas tank, even though it doesn't.
Yeah.
Except it had a fork that was extended out the front, like maybe doubling the length of the bike. And so it was this just enormous. I think I saw that on bikeportland.org, courtesy of Jonathan Moss. So anyways, that looks very exciting. I, on Friday night, went to the Prince versus David Bowie dance party.
Wow.
Which
one were you?
I was neither. I was a guy getting off of work and going to dance afterwards. And actually, if you'd believe it, I didn't even have any beer that night. I should have, but I was trying to pinch the pennies. But it was great because this was actually the very first Pedalpalooza event that I've ever participated in, I think, in my life. Like, I've done other organized rides from time to time.
Which is weird because you've been a big advocate of bicycling and bike culture for years now in Portland.
Right. Well, but not always in Portland.
But you've refused to be a scene, sir.
Right. I don't wear a little hat.
That's right.
But no, I mean, I lived in Vancouver.
Very large hat.
Starting out. Yes, very large hat, 10-gallon. I started out in Vancouver, and then I moved down to Southeast Portland, about as far away before you leave the county, about as far away from downtown as you can get.
We're really pre-Clackamas.
We are, yeah. That's the best way to put it. And I think
Clackamas.
We are, yeah. That's the best way to put it. And I think all things being told, yeah, I'm just I've never been close to where the cool people hang out. So yeah, so this is my concerted effort to actually kind of bolster my image and become a cooler guy.
You look it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Don't tell anybody I'm wearing a little hat.
No.
but yeah, that was great because there were multiple sound systems mounted on bikes. Which one was it? The first guy we bumped into before we got to the place where the ride was gathering and then departing from was a guy on a Bullet, and it was a white Bullet cargo bike, and he had built, I think, with a 12-volt marine battery, a full complement, like a car stereo, basically, built into a box. So it had speakers on either side and then a huge subwoofer kind of inside the box, I think. And that thing, when he turned it up, it was all attached to an iPod that was mounted on his handlebars. And
what kind of tunes was he playing?
Prince and Bowie tunes. Yeah, and I think they probably slipped in some other stuff there at various places. We rode, I think there was like 150 people all kind of gathered for the ride. So it was just a lot of folks on the road in all manner of costume and dress and bicycle styles. I bumped into Lance from Edible Cycles, who is going to be joining us in August, I believe.
Yeah.
But he had actually hand-built a trailer that day out of bamboo and, you know, just spare parts. And an ingenious hitch that looked like it used to be like an air hose coupler, but then it was just mounted to the bicycle itself. He was towing people around as we did at the Sunday Parkways.
Yes.
You know, there's a chair mounted to the trailer. You sit there. There's a cooler with beer. And so one person who sits on the trailer, they tied their bike onto the back of the trailer in an ingenious design. So you drag the bike along behind the trailer. The person that was riding the bike sits on the trailer, drinks a beer, and that's all attached to Lance, you know, who's generating power and charging his iPod.
Wow.
And yeah, and then was playing.
He's living the dream.
He really is. He's an amazing person.
And
so
you can plant the bamboo in the morning and build it by that afternoon.
That's what I was saying, is that he probably harvested it all from his backyard bamboo garden. So yeah.
Bicycles, sustainability, beer, and an Apple product rolled into one.
Yeah.
Well done, sir.
Yeah, definitely. So and he wasn't even the ride leader. Like, he wasn't the most it was a very impressive setup, don't get me wrong, but like, he wasn't even the most impressive of the rigs. Like, I think the guy that put the ride together was actually riding a full-on tricycle. It was one of those adult-sized tricycles. And tied to the back of that was like a really sturdy pneumatic tire four-wheeled wagon. And that held another sound system, probably a similar design with like an automotive battery or something like that. And like full-on PA speakers, one facing backwards, one facing forwards.
That is awesome.
The guy was dressed up like the devil. He had this fantastic, like, Fu Manchu style mustache. He was wearing all manner of red swathy, you know, just robes and whatnot. And the whole trailer was decorated with the string of red lights. And so,
did he have sultry vixens?
I imagine so. They were all about us.
Temptresses.
Yes.
Okay.
There's temptation everywhere.
Yeah.
And actually, speaking of temptation, there were a couple stops. We stopped in front of Scavone's, which is a cute little restaurant, a little family restaurant. I don't think any of the spots that we bicycled to knew that we were arriving. The place we started was the Barely Worn Clothing Shop over on Division and 50th. And, Adele went in to pick up a costume because she showed up in her work clothes as well. But she was like, I can't do this. I need to dress up like,
you need to be David Bowie or...
Yeah, I think she dressed up like Prince.
Okay.
So she bought clothes at the clothing shop and then we rode off. But we stopped there in front of Scavone's. Then we stopped at 7-Eleven on Hawthorne. They got a big parking lot and we just filled the place up. And 7-Eleven made a killing. selling all manner of bottled products. And then after that, we left that, and we went kind of through the neighborhoods down to the Lone Fir Cemetery, and that's where we peeled off the ride because I had to get up early the next day. But the Lone Fir Cemetery, it's a fantastic graveyard here in Portland. It's where all of the historical fathers are buried, and the way it works out, I guess, they just kind of rolled the whole party in there, all these bikes, the loud sound system. And that was where I was wondering, like, you know, is somebody going to come around and shut this party down? Because, like, we're in the middle of a graveyard. And at that point, Michael Jackson Thriller is playing. And
in a graveyard? Oh,
in a graveyard.
It's unbelievable. It's enough to wake the dead.
It almost was. And that was where I was thinking, like, I mean, more than a few people probably snuck off into the bushes and headstones and probably, you know, gave way to temptation that night. So
fornicated?
It's possible. Fabulous. I'm not saying anything happened, but yeah. Anyways, that's where we left the ride. Blah. Yeah. So anyways,
that's better.
That was my weekend. So it was pretty fantastic. That and some bike camping.
Good.
Well, we should, let's drink the beers. That's a good idea.
I've been all patience.
That's right. We need an opener for you, don't we? No, we don't. You, sir, have thought ahead.
I just got ahead of myself, actually.
There we go. Well, what is that beer that you're drinking,
Brandon? It is a Samuel Smith Old Brewery Tadcaster, the celebrated oatmeal stout.
Tadcaster?
Tadcaster.
Really? Is there anything like a podcaster? Oh, that's cool.
Thanks. How about it?
And you're pouring this into a pint glass. You're going all classy on me here.
Yes.
That's been a while.
The Oregon Microbrew Capital.
Nice.
Is the logo on it.
Look at the head on that thing. That's crazy.
It's enormous.
Yeah.
It's the biggest thing I've ever seen.
And you, John, what do you have there?
I have in my hand a Hop Czar from Bridgeport, and it says on the bottom, Imperial India Pale Ale, which would be the IPA, the famous IPA.
That'd be like an I2PA.
I2PA. I2PA.
You got the Imperial India?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like even more. I don't know too much about beer. What makes it Imperial? Was it drank by kings?
Well, India Pale Ale is... Does it say Imperial or India?
I think it says Imperial.
Well, let me put on my glasses. No, it says Imperial.
Oh, yeah.
It's Imperial. It's like margarine.
It's lording it over us all.
Yeah. Land Lakes beer.
If you start off with the logo, you put a crown on whatever the product is, whether it's a bicycle or a
hamburger.
Beer or a
That's
hamburger.
Right.
And it's all of a sudden it's an Imperial hamburger.
That's right. There you go.
It usually just means it's closer to twice the amount of ingredients within the same amount per volume.
Ah.
So it's going to be closer to like 8 or 9%.
There we go. Which indeed it is, I believe.
I wish you told me that.
That'll do a number on you, sir. I believe. But
right. Yeah,
enjoy it well. I'm drinking the Korean Ichiban, which it's got a fantastic looking horse on it. I forgot to look at the package.
That's what she said.
I don't want to make. I would imagine. And actually, you know what it says here? It's brewed under the strict supervision of. Corinne's Brewmaster by Anheuser-Busch in Los Angeles, California. So the packaging is really the only thing that looks Asian.
Now, if that's an Anheuser-Busch product, then that's now a European product because somebody in Bev bought the Anheuser-Busch, right?
Is that right?
So it went from Kirin to Budweiser to
Europe.
In Bev!
There we go. So now
it's a global product.
There we go. It's for the world. It's for the masses. So anyways, I'm going to pop the top and drink some of it myself. First impressions on that, Brandon?
Oh, I like it. It's a little sweeter than I care for a stout to be. I like it to have a little bit more of that black patent malt flavor on it. Just a little bit of a Christmas. So
the Ichiban is it's very thin. It tastes actually very
malnourished. Even
perfectly balanced. It's really good for probably like cooling off on a hot day. The hops are. Is it treating you well?
This is a beautiful beer. This is a little bitter, good bitter, and malty, and powerful. Strangely powerful.
Yeah. It does pack a punch.
Yeah.
So
it's lovely.
Yeah. If not Imperial, then certainly Regnant.
Well, shall we jump into our news headlines?
If I can get my beer off.
Right. Well, yeah, you'll have to move those drinks, I suppose. But
beverage here, man.
What can you do? All right. This, of course, is the song "I Like My Bike" from Portland band Hurtbird at hurtbirdmusic.com. With the thrill of a brand new bike. I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. It circles around the city lights.
All right, and first from not one blog, but the entire internet was excited about this. New York City filmmaker Casey Neistat demonstrates the problem with blocked bike lanes.
Yeah.
This was an amazing video.
It was fantastic. I just watched it actually this morning, and it was phenomenal. Well, it started out with just like I thought it was going to be the typical video that anyone who's angry about something bicycle related will make. They're like, you know, I have a helmet cam and that's a police officer and I'm angry. But then he proceeded.
It took a surprise turn.
Seriously, yeah. Have you seen this, John?
No.
This is a video in which Casey Neistat. He's riding his bicycle down the lane, and in New York City, a lot of bike lanes are obstructed by various things. I've read about this in a couple of different places on the internet. And instead of saying, you know, I'm going to ride around this, I think the video begins with him getting a ticket for riding outside of a bike lane. And so he's like, well, all right, I'm following the rules. And so he proceeds to run into everything in New York City that obstructs a bike lane.
He demands that he will obey the law and he will not leave the bicycle lane.
Yeah, and he takes some fantastic flies and spills in this video.
No kidding. It was like Jackass, but with like a moral to it.
Yeah, exactly. With a point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was fantastic.
Boy, if we could harness that Johnny Knoxville.
Indeed.
For the goodness of
humanity. For good and not for evil.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. pure villainy.
Kind of like Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no kidding. So, next up, from M-Bike, by way of Bike Portland, Amtrak is now going to be offering a roll-on bicycle service throughout Michigan.
Yeah.
Yay!
That's every line. I think they have three Amtrak lines that roll through Michigan. And we were talking
here and get up to here
on the mitten.
Yes.
Yeah. It's something that most places in the American states constructed my sentence poorly.
Those are united, right?
That's right. They are united under a constitution.
List exec as well. Yeah.
And a Declaration of Independence. Most routes you need to box your bike up. There are a couple places where you can roll your bicycle onto the train just as is. One of those, I think, is Lincoln Service, which rolls out of Illinois and down to St. Louis, which I was going to do this summer, but I changed my plans. In Michigan, yeah, they've said, hey, we're going to make room for bikes as they are without having to be boxed or put away on all of our trains in Michigan. So that's kind of exciting. And I'm not sure if I don't know enough about the Amtrak routes to predict which routes those are.
You will, though, after this episode. You're going to kick yourself for not having an encyclical knowledge of this shit.
I will, but at the same time, I realize that that's kind of a specialized field of knowledge, and it's not the sort of thing that everyone gets as excited as I do, so I'll spare you all the details. You can look it up. We've got some links on our website, which, of course, is thesprocketpodcast.com.
There you go. All right, and next up from Roncon Coca-Cola, New York City is a three-way street. This is a great Vimeo video.
You should
video.
Explain that one because you sent that to me.
Yeah, so how could a three-way street be possible? Well, there's you got your cars.
They're going vertically?
That's it, yeah. Yeah. There's an X-axis, yeah. There's a Y-axis full of pedestrians, and there's a Z-axis full of bicycles. So, bicicleta. So, it's a great video that just it looks like he hung his video out of his balcony just watching this particularly chaotic intersection.
Yeah, once again in New York City.
In New York City, yes, where all chaos truly emerges and reconverges. He's got little, like almost like target reticules going around the different kinds of people, and it changes colors when they start doing some dumb shit.
As if you were playing Warcraft.
Yes, indeed. Your Zerg are moving around, and your Terrans, and yeah. Admitting way too much about what I did in high school. And then we won't tell anybody. Yes, no, okay. Oh, God. basically just exposing how insane people are on the roads out there, and how... It's an indictment against all three different modes of transportation. And hey, y'all got to be adults about this and obey the laws and stuff. Because there are some insanely close calls.
It's incredibly.
Like,
I was
the bicycle that like the fixie guy running. I'm assuming he's fixie because I don't want anyway. Like he's playing Frogger.
Yeah, we did speak to some very nice fixie riders last night, but
indeed.
I think they're probably better people than these folks in the video.
They were vegan.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Yeah. And then, yeah, anyways, that good stuff.
Yeah, so check out the video. We've got the
stop
link
me
up
before
on
I blather farther.
Aye, then ding, ding. Yeah, you can't go past that. Pathless Pedaled. Okay, so I have not read this, but you have.
Yeah.
Farm stays are an innovative way to connect with the land and meet people.
Yeah. Imagine if you took couch surfing, where you stay with just with anybody who happens to have a couch available, and you mix that with like a bed and breakfast sort of situation. I think the halfway between that is kind of what a farm stay would be. You're paying to stay with these farmers, but you're also getting a decent accommodation. And if you're on a bicycle tour going across the continent or the country or around a region, you've got a place to stay that connects you to the land the way that people make a living in that area. And and you get to meet some great people, eat some great food, and see some beautiful things, and sleep on perhaps a real bed.
Wow! And wake up and have a cow outside your window.
Yeah, that's right.
This is a functioning business now?
I think that as I've heard it, it's agritourism, which is kind of like, the farm's primary business is of course, whatever they happen to produce, if it's farm animals, livestock, or vegetables, that sort of thing. But they'll supplement that by just having people come in who would like to see farms in action. So
I used to get these guys that would come over to my house at midnight on their bike and say, dude, Can I, conk out on your couch tonight? And all they have is their bike, and they'd wheel their bike in the house, and they'd rack out on the couch. And the next morning, I'd make them breakfast, and I can give you like 50 cents or something, and they'd be off. And I think, is exactly the same thing.
Right, right. Except with cows.
You're making more than 50 cents off of it.
Right. And they're not racking out lines. Is that what you meant?
Yes.
Okay.
It really surprised me. I was in New Zealand and woofing, willing workers on organic farms, doing half a day's work
for
food and lodging, and they were remodeling their house to be able to do this bed and breakfast thing on their ranch, and so I got to sleep in that room, which was like a big king size bed. It was awesome, but I mean, even they were upfront enough about it to say like, it's basically you're paying money to wake up with a cow outside your window. But they were totally happy to, because they love hosting people, and they've got a good heart about it. And if you got a spare room, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Russ and Laura have an article all about this on their website, which we have a link to at thesprocketpodcast.com. This does tie into their...
people have already found the link.
Okay. You can never oversell something, Brandon. You can oversell something, Brandon.
Consider nightly.
It's yes. True. Yeah. No, this also ties into their whole idea of can bicycle tourism save small town America? The idea that you're rolling through places that people might not otherwise go, that can inject some financial levity into an otherwise dire situation.
True. Alrighty. And lastly, Low Tech Magazine, by way of Logan.
Logan.
The future...
That was
the forgotten future of the stationary bike.
Yeah, he sent me a great article. It was basically all manner of farm implements and homesteading implements that can be powered by foot. People, hooking up a stationary bicycle or a set of pedals to something, and generating electricity, providing direct force for splitting logs, I think was the first one on the article. It was like a log splitter that's powered by a set of pedals.
I want to look at this link immediately.
Because,
yes.
Yeah. Who's splitting the logs? Who's holding onto the log while someone else is pedaling? Are you doing it from 6 feet away?
I think the machine is.
I think I got one.
Yeah. It's really... Still. It's kind of it's a steampunkish sort of idea. It's like, this is like a revisionist history.
It is really steampunk.
Yeah, like basically, I think the thrust of the article was the idea that we can be doing this stuff now if we figure out how to catch up with all the technology. Like,
it never occurred to me that like post carbon, apocalypse stuff is actually just steampunk. That's
right, right. Except without maybe so much steam and a little more sweat.
Yes, yeah, sweat punk. I don't want to be part of that scene.
There's enough of those already.
Yeah, no.
So anyhow, that's what we found in the news.
Which brings us to... No. I'll just do one. There we go.
There we go.
That's the closing sound.
Now. Yeah. Do we have a fanfare set up for John?
Yeah, so you've got every guest gets a choice of a fanfare. So I'm going to just tell you the name of them, and you get to choose which one.
Oh, great. Okay.
Royal Gong Classic Movie.
Those three. Well, I am going to go, Bob, with Classic Movie for $2.
All right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
give you John Boblett of Portland Pedal Lounge. Thank you.
That was fantastic.
So much for joining us. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks. It's wonderful to be here.
So introduce yourself to us. Tell us how you got to Portland and what brings you to where
you are
today.
What are you doing here?
What am I doing here? Yeah. Well, I was born. This is a little trivia for I was born on the day that James Dean died.
Really?
Yes. Can
you think there was any sort of transference happening?
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you know the day?
I don't.
September 30th, 1955, and there's a movie by that name starring whoever that guy was that played John Boy Walton. Thomas, Richard Thomas.
That's also reaching a bit farther than I can.
Yeah, title of the movie is September 30th, 1955, and it's just this awful movie.
Okay.
But I own a copy because it's my birthday.
It's your birthday, yeah. So anyways, you inherited the charm of James Dean.
You may be reincarnated.
No, my older brother said, well, you are a rebel without a job.
Which is slightly different than the other.
Slightly.
Yeah. But what brought you to Portland?
Well, my wife brought me to Portland. We were stranded in Minnesota in this frozen tundra flatland, and the winters kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So she says, we need to leave. We just need to leave. So she said, I picked out three cities to go to. Da, 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 da. And I said, well, okay, so we were looking, and she said, I think Portland is a really good candidate because it seems topographically and weather-wise, it seems close to Minneapolis.
Ah.
And it's, both have 32 inches of precipitation a year.
Ah. And just one is frozen harder.
Yeah. There's turned out to be a little bit of a difference. But she came out and scouted like Lewis and Clark for me. And she called up. She was in here May of 95, which was a particularly gorgeous spring.
Yeah.
Beautiful blue skies, roses are in bloom. And she called me and she said, pack your stuff, we're going. So I did.
Nice.
I packed my stuff. And it's rained ever since.
There you go. You brought it to us, sir. I think you brought it upon us all.
I think
you're
welcome.
Did.
So you've had a chance to see this town change a bit, I would imagine.
Yes, yes, I have. Yes, I have. And all positively, I may add. Since we've been here, it just keeps getting prettier and prettier. And more lovely and more interesting.
Oh, you hear that, folks. If you were considering coming for a visit, it only gets better from here.
It does. Yeah. It really does.
I do enjoy I enjoy the town quite a bit. I've been here for about 10 years, but I spent part of that in Vancouver, so I haven't had my pulse exactly, or I haven't had my
you haven't had your pulse taken for a while.
what's the metaphor?
Is it Land of the Living Dead, the Walking Dead up there.
I'm not sure what's happening in Portland, all throughout those years, but I have noticed the change. Like I've noticed just in the past couple of years, it seems like Portland has really started to develop kind of in earnest, just like exploding with new businesses and places.
Well, it really hasn't. I think it depends on where you live and what your experience is. We live in Northeast Portland, and it's been an explosion of people fixing up their homes and cleaning their properties and businesses starting and people getting to know each other. In our neighborhood, people were strangers when we moved in, and now people are shaking hands with each other and saying hi, and it's just a different positive community thing going on. I love
it. That's good.
I love
it. That's the sort of thing that we hope would happen more often. Just the handshake is probably where it all starts, and then moving on from there. Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell us about your first bicycle?
My first bicycle. Well, let's see. I think my first bicycle was a hand-me-down. It was a Schwinn, and it weighed, I don't know, I was probably 5 years old, but it weighed probably 50,000 pounds. It had these giant black fenders on it, and it was the kind, and I don't know what the bicycle term for this is, but where you're pedaling, and you reverse pedal and change gears that way. It had about three speeds.
Three speeds, and the change of gear is just like kind of kicking it backwards.
Really?
I've never ridden one.
And then you pedal forward. That's in a different gear, and you just change up, bump, and forward again. And it had a basket on it, which was a little embarrassing looking back. But it was my brother's bike, and he wasn't embarrassed. So
right.
And I used to ride in it when I was three, so it was a natural hand me down.
There you go.
And I think I learned to ride. There were no training wheels. We lived on a hill in Minneapolis, and he put me on this bike and just said, "I'm with you. I'm with you." here we go, here we go. And then he wasn't with me. He just let me go.
He's got to toss
it. And you've been careening ever since.
And I've been careening. And then I had a stingray, one of those, you know, the banana seat green stingray with the thing.
Those are classy.
And then I had a Peugeot white racing bike that my sister brought me back from France that was weighed 1 ounce, and I flew everywhere in town. And Minneapolis is, I know, there's a competition apparently with Minneapolis and Portland. Who's the best biking city or something?
Yeah, they've been duking it out.
Minneapolis is pretty good. They've got a lot of good lakes to go around. And yeah. And I never had any problem there with in heavy traffic downtown. I was good.
That's good.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of, I guess multi-use paths, like off-road paths is what I've heard.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that, maybe that's the reason that they rocketed up to number one on the...
kidding me? I didn't see one of them while I was there.
Is that right? That's because it was all snowed over.
No, it was all... Yeah, well, it was...
Well, that's so true.
It was really potholed, like cement. I didn't know cement can pothole.
Minneapolis sucks.
Yeah. No, it's a wonderful place.
It's
just cold as shit.
Do you have to say that?
I did. I genuinely liked it. Oh. Yeah. They had a good co-op. evidently that goes a long ways for me.
Yeah.
and I got to see in the art gallery in their downtown they had a collection of Dr. Seuss, including he was a sculptor, and they had a Lorax that he had sculpted.
Theodore Geisel.
Blew my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at you.
I saw it like yesterday, I think.
Yeah. Well, he's not from there though, is he?
No, he's not, but still.
Yeah.
You know, my experience of Minneapolis was good.
Oh, good. Well, what about the Peanuts guy? What's his name? Schultz?
Charles Schultz, yeah.
And they've got those Snoopy things all over the place?
That's right.
They do, and the bronze of Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah. Oh,
Frozen in carbonite, right?
You might just make it, after all.
I've heard that.
Brandon is just...
Rod just tugged his ear. No,
Brandon has made the approval for John Boblett. John Boblett has blessed him and given him the sign of the cross and everything. Brandon has been absolved of any former cynicism. Well, let's throw a break into the program real quick. I've got another song from We Are Augustines, and I'm really excited about this band. The last one we played was the one that sounded like... Bruce Springsteen crossed with David Byrne, who doesn't own a car. This one, I'm not sure. It sounds more like a Coldplay song really thick, meaty vocals. He's just got a fantastic voice. Anyways, the album, it dropped. Apparently, it's doing really well. So go give him your support. I'm still waiting for the vinyl to drop.
They were the iTunes free song of the week last week.
They were, as a matter of fact. And that's actually how I first got this song. And I wrote to the fellow, Eric, I believe, from We Are Augustines, and said, hey, can we play this on our show? And he said, sure. So here it is, Headlong Into the Abyss, which is also a fantastic name for a song. By We Are Augustines from the 2011 release Rise Ye Sunken Ships. They are at www.weareaugustines.com.
We were headlong into the abyss. And father said, and the kid that I always stole. Driving just like our days had been stolen.
buy your parents a helicopter so they can.
I think everyone should have a helicopter, Brandon. That would be the answer to all the world's problems.
What would happen to the bikes?
Well, obviously, we'd be replacing them with helicopters.
Yeah. Oh, then we can
cut wood.
We are
exercise bikes.
Well, we are here on the Sprocket Podcast.
I play music. Oh,
do you have a bed lined up?
No.
Oh, okay. we can just roll back into it then.
Okay, we can roll into it.
Okay. We are back on the Sprocket Podcast with the All-Star Beatboxing Band. Which is consisted of Brandon Rhodes and John Boblett. My name is Brock Dittus. You are listening to The Sprocket at thesprocketpodcast.com. Well, we've got... That was impressive. You two work well together. And it's a joke band. We have an email address. If you'd like to send us your own recordings of your own beatboxing projects, it's thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com or anything else you want to tell us. You want to give us a call? Our phone number is 503-847-9774. You can leave us a voicemail. Tell us your stories there. We got a Facebook. You can find out what's going on there. And actually, Brandon, can you do an Australian accent?
Maybe.
I think Darren, you posted this on our
wall.
This
could be bad.
And I don't know if you're going to take kindly to this or not, but we're going to read your comment in what we assume is your Australian accent.
Oh, God damn it. Just saying hello from Australia. I'm loving the podcast, boys. Keep them coming. I've been catching up on them over the past 3 weeks whilst traveling to work. They make any flight bearable. I do feel for my fellow passengers when laughing out loud at the antics on your show. Keep up the good work. Cheers, Darren. Note to self. Must visit Portland one day. Bicycle friendly and beer for $1. Win-win.
Thank you, Darren. We appreciate you getting
everybody
in touch.
There sounds like a frog, evidently.
That's right. That's right. I don't know if it came through, but he used the word whilst, which is a fantastic English
whilst.
Word. Whilst. Yeah, whilst. That's a good
that
word.
That was excellent.
Good work, Brandon. And Darren, we hope that was a good approximation of you.
Good on me.
Yeah, for sure. Good on Brandon.
I'm complimenting myself.
Good on Brandon.
Throw another Barbie on the shrimp.
That's exactly, yeah. That's what I was going to say, yeah. Good day, mate.
So. Now that is a knife. That is remarkably similar to something you would cut things with. All right, let's just.
This is an implement of cutting things. Yeah. So, anyways, we've
been doing a good job drinking our beer.
We are. My goodness. We've also, there's an iTunes review from Logan. Logan gave us 5 stars. Logan, you're a good guy. Thank you so much. He says, Brock and Brandon put on an amazingly insightful and candid show documenting their trials and tribulations of learning more about simple living in their community. Podcast is clever, funny, and always leaves me wondering how I can adopt the new simple living ideas that I've learned during the show. I might interject. He's moving into a tiny house with Tammy, so I don't think he has to worry about adopting simple living ideas from us. But
yeah, no kidding.
We do appreciate the sentiments. I love the bicycle lifestyle spin. And I look forward to each new show on Monday afternoon. Cheers. Actually, this is going to be a Tuesday afternoon show, Logan. So everybody who sits just looking at iTunes waiting for it to update on Monday is going to be very disappointed from here on out, because we're starting to record on Monday evenings just for our own personal schedules and sanity and for daylight. Aside from that, you're still getting your shows. They're just coming out on Tuesday. And then you can always give us some money if you like. You can buy a beer for John Boblett. He's enjoying the Hops R right now. And if you donate with the PayPal button on our wall, we can do that. And we won't hold your programming hostage. We'll give you a full show every time, unless it's Memorial Day. So
what?
Well, yeah, I remember Memorial Day. We were out of town, and we just kind of got
what?
Busy.
That
we
was
fell
ridiculous.
Down on the job. We put out a 15-minute episode.
I want a rebate.
Yeah. I know. Last but not least, we're still doing the survey. June is survey month, and we're going to give $10 to a lucky survey participant. And I believe I was looking at this list. Darren from Australia actually he gave us. I'm not sure what that converts into Australian dollars, but 10 US dollars. I should clarify.
3 kangaroos.
And then Patrick and Chris Rock. And I'm not sure if that's the real Chris Rock or if it's a different Chris Rock. But anyways, those guys.
I heard it was the real one.
That's very possible. Those three guys put their metaphoric hats in the ring for the survey. So
what's that a metaphor for?
I don't know. Oh, they took the survey.
Oh, okay.
They want to win $10.
Give them.
They've got a 1 in 3 chance. If you'd like to dilute their odds.
That's right. Anyway,
and thereby begin yours.
You can give us some helpful feedback about the show, and possibly we might give you $10. A little personalized picture of Mr. Hamilton just for you. So, anyways, that's it. So let's turn our attention now fully to John Boblett. We're going to ask you a little bit about Portland Pedal Lounge. Are you in any state to continue?
Yeah, I am, but it looks like I'm wondering. I want to see another demonstration of the farmer blow.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Before we continue.
There we go.
No, go for it, Brian.
Well, I have a handkerchief.
I'd hate to steal your thunder. Yeah.
For those who can't see what we're up to, the farmer blow is where if you're busy doing something, farming, I suppose, and you need to clear your nasal passages. It's just leaning to the side.
You have no hanky within reach.
Yeah, if you have no handkerchief and you cannot deposit your snot for later inspection, you just lean to one side, block one nostril, and force all the air through the other nostril, which is blocked already by the offending material, and then you project that.
Thereby champagne corking your undesirables. That's
precisely. That's exactly how it works.
How did we get on to this topic?
And that, people, is the simple life.
That's the farmer blow.
And I was saying,
that was something you paid for on 82nd, but.
When I was growing up, we lived, there was a town called Buckley, Washington, which we always said that there was three families and they were all related to each other up there. I think the person I learned that trick from called it the Buckley Snot Rocket. So anyhow,
I was in a band called that. That's crazy.
That must have been awesome.
What a small world.
It was.
The Buckley Snot Rocket.
That's right.
Yeah. I played the theremin. It's great. Yeah.
No, I actually learned how to do that when I was bucking hay bales, which is
you can also pay for one.
That's good, honest work in itself. That lifting bales in the blistering sun all day.
That's weird because I was in a band called the Bucking Hay Bales.
Yeah. Really? That must have been awesome.
It was.
I've trademarked that line. Damn it,
John. Before we go farther afield, tell me. A bar on a bike, how does it work?
A bar on a bike, it just works.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like Apple.
Is this just a standard Schwinn cruiser, or what kind of a bike are we talking about here?
This bike was made by a guy named Ard Karsten in Amsterdam, and it's good. It's good. It works. It's awesome. It's an awesome bike.
You were telling me you met the fellow when he did you go over there to visit him, or did he come over?
Well,
to the States?
The last time I was in Amsterdam was about 6 years ago, and that was because my beautiful wife Mary worked for Nike at the time, and Nike has a corporate or headquarters in Hilversum, so we were over there. So that was, but I didn't see any bikes, and apparently they were around, but I didn't get to see any, and I don't know how I missed them. I don't know, maybe I was in a bar or something.
That's possible.
I was probably high.
Oh, okay.
Or something, but anyway, so I didn't see those, but this is where the bike comes from, and Ard was just here in Portland a couple of days ago, and we've been talking on the phone, and I call him up, and he says, "Hi, John, how are you doing? This is Ard, and everything good, and money working out and everything, and I want to make sure the brakes, and it's perfect for you," and so I had this idea, this perception in my head that he was this guy that was probably 5'6", and white hair, and this little Dutch guy that was this...
wearing clogs.
Wooden
no
shoes
doubt.
And tulips around. A white shirt with tulips printed on.
And of course.
So anyway, he calls up. He's in town. He goes, "Ard, I'm at the airport, and I lost all my goddamn luggage and shit. And Minneapolis, there was a trial, and I'm waiting for my luggage. So I'm going to come over tomorrow."
So worst
I'm,
day ever.
Worst. Oh, he's just there. But he's... And so I'm thinking, this poor guy, he's not a young man anymore. He's traveling from Amsterdam to Portland, and he lost his luggage, and all this poor guy. So I get a call the next morning, ring, 8 o'clock. This is Ard. "Ard, how are you doing? Where are you?" "I'm outside your house."
Can't access the doorbell or something?
I said, "What are you doing? You were going to, I thought, you know, typically in America, or I don't know, anywhere, before you come over to someone's house, you say, 'I'm going to come over. Are you up?' or something. No, I found your house. There's a big church across the street. So I'm in my bathrobe, and I get up and look outside the window, and there's this car running outside in the middle of the street. It's Art. He's here. Oh, for Christ's sake. So I go down and say, you know, quick, get dressed, and open up the door. He's a giant. He's 6'6".
Really?
He's James Arness. He's Matt Dillon. He's John Wayne. He's Clint Eastwood. He's just a giant
all
guy.
All rolled into one.
All rolled into one. And he's 36 years old. He's just this big kid, just this big, red-faced, happy bike builder.
Nice.
Here I am.
Fantastic.
I wanted to see the bike.
Well, did he arrive?
Here he is, and the bike's in my garage.
Yeah, and I actually, I showed up, I think, what, it was like the, was it the day that it delivered?
I think it was the day, the very next day you came by.
Yeah, we were in talks about getting you here, and you said, oh, hey, it's at my house, you want to come see it? And yeah, so I stopped by, I think, and yeah, so we literally kicked the tires, I think.
You did.
Think you had meant something different.
I kind of covered my eyes while you did it because I wasn't sure at the time.
Now I realize the extent of my faux pas. but yeah, so the thing, it's definitely not an ordinary bike. It's on four wheels, right?
It's on four wheels. It's got all kinds of gizmos. It's got four, not disc brakes, but drum brakes, hydraulic. Mm-hmm. And it's got rack and pinion steering. And it's got adjustable seats and an adjustable top, and it's got tunes on it, and we're almost ready to go.
There you go.
We're almost ready to go, and it's a blast. We were out yesterday, like I said, for the Cirque, and people were having a riot.
I would imagine, yeah.
It's so much fun.
You said 12?
12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I think we could probably cram 18 on there.
Nice. Yeah. Is there any sort of legal limit, or is it just like the physical carrying capacity?
Well, we don't know about the legal limit. I don't know. I don't know what the city's going to say. They may say you can only have three on there.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah,
we're waiting.
But the big idea for this is that you're every other place in the world where these things exist, they dispense alcohol as they roll down the street. You said that there are many cities where this exists, right?
Like, yeah, this is going on right now in about, I would say, 12, 15 cities. And in maybe half of those, people are allowed to bring their own beer or wine with them.
Okay.
And serve themselves. It's never dispensed. It's never, because you'd have to get a liquor license.
Well, if you were going to sell that's hundreds of more pounds. So.
But I should back up. In Europe, they do have kegs. When you rent one of these, they have a full keg with a tap. And as they roll down the street, they're pouring their own beer in giant German beer mugs, and they're rolling down in there. That's part of the tour. You pay for the beer and the ride. And they didn't used to provide a driver. So it used to be you could have 15 people walk up and rent one of these things and just take off.
Just take them out like they were at Seaside, Oregon, renting a Surrey.
There were some problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. It got a little crazy. So now they supply a driver. But they still have the beer. Now in Minneapolis and St. Paul and I believe Austin and Bend, Oregon, different places, you can bring your own beer along.
Yeah.
And it depends on what the city wants to do. Huh. City attorney, Bureau of Transportation, police, people like that have to make those decisions. And in Bend, they said, yeah, go for it. This looks like fun.
That's surprising, actually, just because.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, honestly, yeah.
Honestly, yeah.
It's the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Is that the OLCC? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's somebody was talking about them earlier today. I was listening to another show, and I think they were describing them as kind of like an official state-run mafia that kind of decides and arbitrates kind of how liquor will be dispensed in the state.
You may not be politically disposed to comment on this, but no. I'll gladly say they do function that way.
Well, right. Yeah, I wouldn't use the word mafia, but they do regulate it. And looking into it, I was a bartender for about 5-6 years, and the story was that Oregon's liquor consumption or hard alcohol consumption got so out of control that the state had to come in and take control of the liquor stores.
Mm, interesting.
And
it was the Mormons that pushed for that, I think.
Well, absolutely.
Of course they would.
No, it was. Yeah. It was hugely Mormon.
Right.
Not that that's bad, but.
Right, but that's kind of the historical makeup of kind of the maybe where it came from in some parts.
So did that effectively rein it in?
I know who you're not voting for.
Yes. He's not our senator anymore. It's okay.
So the OLCC has told me if you're not selling, pouring, distributing, any of that stuff. We actually don't really care what you're doing.
Ah.
You don't need a license. They deal in licenses to sell and distribute alcohol. And if you're not doing that, if people are bringing their own, like they do in a limousine or a tour bus,
right?
This is we're off the hook.
Or on a Pedalpalooza ride. I don't know if I should be shocked that in Portland, you know, you get a 200 people together with bikes and they all end up drinking beer in public from open containers. I mean, you know, I was surprised that people, weren't shut down earlier. I mean, I don't know that anyone was ever shut down or told that they couldn't have it. But, I guess there's a big difference between rolling with an open container, you know, if you have a shopping cart and an open container, if you're with 100 people that are having a party. But, I guess if that's any indication, maybe you don't have as many obstacles as you might.
Well, I'm hoping that that's the case. And coming from Minnesota, that I thought was a pretty nailed down place as far as, you know, German Swedish heritage and regulations, and you know, you
Lutherans everywhere. They love
Lutherans
drink.
Everywhere, and you have to park your car on the side. I said, well, when we moved here, I said, you know what the cool thing about Portland is? You can park your car on the other side of the street and facing the wrong way. And we thought, dude, this is so cool.
And you're not required to listen to Garrison Keillor.
And we don't have to listen to Garrison Keillor, thank God, anymore.
Although we do.
And neighbors can have, you know, live rats in their backyard. And we thought, well, I don't like it, but I salute their, you know, right to have that.
Their independent spirit.
And this is a cool hippie place. Well, it turns out that it's pretty hard regulations. They take these things pretty seriously.
Right.
So what the latest thing that came down was that I got a message a couple days ago about the Attorney General has decided that they're going to enforce DUI regulations for peddlers of the bike, that if your alcohol content is over 0.08, that an officer can come up to the lounge while we're on our tour and breathalyze you, and if you're over that limit, can give you a DUI,
right?
Which is a DMV tag, mm-hmm. which would go on your motor vehicle record. So I'm not sure. We gotta figure out what's going on, because it doesn't see it's way, the penalty is way out of line with the offense, because you're just pedaling a bike, you're not driving, you're not
delivering drive, but you're not actually steering it. So the part that would the part of the participation that would be compromised by your inebriation, it's just a non sequitur.
It's not there, and you couldn't even be pedaling. You take your feet off the pedals. You're a
Oh, pardon me. That's my phone. I need to unplug that.
Oh, okay.
No, get it. Put him on the show.
See who
put
it him is. On the show. Maybe it's a call in.
Hello, this is Brock. Oh, yeah. Sorry. This is a bad time. Tomorrow, perhaps? 6 o'clock? Okay. Thanks. Bye.
That was excellent.
I thought I was going to be a good citizen and participate in this like travel survey that tells you, you know, your transportation habits and everything. But it's really been a big pain.
Oh God!
They keep calling back, and I lost the things, and I don't have the heart to tell them that I can't give them their information. And I think I'm just probably going to keep stringing them along. Anyways, I'm sorry.
Eventually,
sorry, people.
They'll just quit calling.
I hope so. Where were we? We were talking about draconian laws.
Oh, I was going off about the going off about the regulations, and we, I don't know yet. I've been invited, I believe, to talk to all the members next week sometime, and I can ask questions of what they've decided. But they want control over the routes, the manner in which I work, and just pretty much everything. So I don't know where it's going to end up.
Yeah, that's tricky. Mm-hmm. Is it kind of a discouraging sort of thing? I mean, obviously you hope to be up and running before this, kind of with the full program. So
yeah, I thought I was going to be going about a month ago, and it's been a little bit of a setback. Sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where all the caution is coming from. I've heard different stories about what's going on here, but I think once we start and people see what it is and how innocuous it is, that the city's going to just relax. somebody somewhere is worried for no reason. This is happening. These bikes are going in all these different cities around. People are having a blast, and no one's getting hurt, and there's been no accidents, and it's just pure fun. Yeah. So I'm not sure what's going on, but I think once they see it, we'll be all right.
There's a mindset that says we have rules, and therefore people are made for rules, not rules made for however that goes. And
right, whatever that is, they've got the wrong.
They got it lopsided there. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
And therefore, we have to slap your hand for it, even if it's really not breaking the spirit of the law.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. It's kind of a mystery to me, but we'll find out next week. I'll be able to see these people. I've been offering to come in. I will be happy to come in and talk to you and explain what I want. No, we can do this in a vacuum. So,
devoid of information or practical
off the record, and
it's going to be an internal interdepartmental meeting, and I'm thinking, well, that's fine. Get your stuff together, but let me tell you what I'm going to do, so you don't make all these rules, and then I come in and say, this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
Oh, I wish you'd known that. Then we wouldn't have done this.
Ooh.
Right.
No.
Right.
But that's all right.
Well, I wish you the best with the red tape and that whole aspect of it.
So
it's been kind of fun, actually. I mean, really interesting.
You seem to be the kind of person who's a fun-loving fellow, and perhaps this is kind of fun in a perverse sort of way.
Well, not even perverse. It's very interesting.
He keeps his pants on.
I don't mean that in a negative sense.
Well, no, I know what you mean, but it's like watching a show, and I happen to be one of the guys in it. But it's sort of like a sitcom, and some of the conversations we've had, I sit back and I say,
I can't believe you. Did you see what?
Precisely. Oh, yeah. Just along that way.
So
there's a good belly laugh every now and again.
That's what life should be like.
Well, yeah, and it's good to balance that out.
Yeah.
What were you thinking, Brandon?
No, I'm curious. So can how can people participate in the Portland Pedal Lounge? Is it it can be rented out for an evening, sort of like those big party limos, or do you show up and you charge a jump on fee?
What this is going to be is exactly this. We are going to have 2-hour tours. So you would call me and say, I want to do a 2-hour tour, and there'll be a calendar of dates and times you can pick from.
Uh-huh.
And it'll go Wednesday through Sunday nights. And we'll all meet at approximately the Amnesia Brew House on Mississippi, and we'll go for 2 hours. And we'll go down Mississippi, we'll go along Fremont and up Williams and around. We'll go to Prost and Cerveza and Lucky Lab.
Those are all breweries in the area.
All good places to stop. Or if you don't want to drink, we'll stop at food carts. So you can get a cup of coffee or chocolate milk or whatever you want to do.
We have chocolate milk carts. I like that.
That's right. I think I could offer that on board. Well, I shouldn't say that.
As long as it hasn't begun to ferment. Yep.
I was going to say your food handler's permit necessary for that.
That's right. And we'll have music on board, and it's going to be a 2-hour tour, and it's going to cost approximately, I'm not sure, but about $340 for 2 hours. And I'm trying to break it down so it's close to $21-$22 a person.
Yeah, which is not bad. I mean, you would pay that for an amusement park ride or something.
Sounds pretty fun to me.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Yeah. And yeah. You mentioned tunes on board. You were talking about you can plug an iPod or a CD player or a turntable, wax cylinders, whatever you have.
Wax cylinders, yeah.
Whatever
Thomas
you have.
Edison's gramophone.
Precisely. The sound system on board, what's that made of?
I've just got for right now, I've got a really nice amp that you can plug your iPod of all different kinds into, and will situate your pod and it will charge your machine as you go, and the sound is great. In the future, I'm going to add a couple of batteries to the pedal lounge, and we'll have a 4-speaker system up, and we'll get into serious trouble.
There you go.
With the neighbors with that. So,
right, right. Yeah, and then you're breaking the noise zoning ordinance.
There'll be
as well.
Another rule about decibel levels or something.
Yeah.
So we're prepared for that.
How about driving the thing? I assume you're the one that's done most of the driving at this point. What does it feel like? How does it handle?
It's really odd, you know, really, because you're driving. You have the steering wheel and you have the brake, but you have no power.
So
there's no drive for you.
No, there's no pedals for the driver.
Yeah, so you really do need like a galley of slavers just kind of rowing away to get you from one place to another.
Right, and if either one of you guys are available with a whip during the week,
we'll pedal alongside and just...
Right.
We'll have cattle prods.
Well, we did the circ yesterday, and I wanted to play my trombone in front of the pedal lounge. With a tuba player and a clarinet player. So, well, if I'm doing that, at first I thought, can I play my trombone and steer this thing at the same time? And I thought, well, that's...
You have onboard brass.
It's multitasking too much. So I, honey, you want to drive this? Sure. So she did it. She had so much fun. I mean, all it is steering and braking.
There you go. And those are the two easiest things to do.
Warning the people in back, I'm about to brake, because if they're pedaling like crazy and you slam on the brakes, they just take a little hit.
Ah, I see. But, on the knees.
Very easy to steer, very maneuverable. She actually was able to do some donuts.
Nice.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Like full on 360s. That's beautiful. Well, that's thank you so much for telling us. We'll have to get some photos of that put up on our website as well. I imagine you have those at your website. Where would people find you on the internet?
They would find me at www.pedallounge.com.
There we go. You snapped that one up before anybody else got it.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's Pedal Lounge with just one L, correct?
Just one L.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll refer people your direction. We should talk about how the beer was, and then we'll wrap our show up.
Yes, we should. So I would say, like as I said after my initial sip, mine was enjoyable, had a good mouthfeel, but it was much sweeter than I generally don't like a sweet stout unless it's going to have a little bit. Unless it's a milk stout that works for me. It's got to have that like velvety.
And this was not a milk stout.
No, it was an oatmeal.
Okay,
its modifier was gluten based, not bovine.
So better for breakfast than for anything else.
But you know what? It was $2.99. So who cares?
Yeah, that's all right. And it has a fancy packaging. The label and the foil around the top and everything, it makes it look like you bought something expensive.
I personally feel important drinking it.
So. And I think that's probably the most important out of all the factors.
Yes.
I mean, that's how I roll.
I'm thinking about voting Republican just by the way.
Congratulations, sir.
That's a lie.
John, how did the hops are treat you towards the end?
Well, I want to ask you about the gluten-based. What is that? What is?
Oh, oatmeal instead of... Milk. The modifier. Oatmeal.
The modifier.
It was a tangent.
This is lovely, and it's just, you know, I know I said it was a little bitter, and that's perfect because it slows me down. Because if it's too smooth, if there's no barbed wire in it,
right,
it just it's gone.
Right.
So this just reminding you, hey, hello, you're drinking beer.
Indeed. Yeah. That's the problem with those four locos is that they don't have that mechanism to keep you from drinking them all at once.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Bridgeport. It is Bridgeport, right?
It's Bridgeport.
Okay, yeah.
Call Bob Nagley down there and tell him he's doing a great job.
Yeah, we'll have to tell him. We'll have to have him come in here and tell us about beer someday. Yeah. And then of course the Kirin's prime brew, the Kirin Ichiban, 100% malt, brewed for good times. I think that's my favorite part, honestly, is the
brewed for good times
and
the slogan.
Yeah. And the kind of the Chinese art horse up at the top here in the packaging is pretty great. But yeah, it's fantastically beautiful. I don't know, it's a great can. The beer itself is kind of thin and watery, but it's maybe what the doctor ordered for a nice hot Sunday or Monday or Tuesday afternoon.
For a case of the Mondays.
Yeah, yeah. If it was a weekend, I'd have another beer. So we're going to put the lid on the whole thing, and we thank you so much for joining us. Our website, of course, is that's our email address, thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. The website is thesprocketpodcast.com. Ryan J. Lane provides our theme music. Hurt Bird provides our news sounder. That's ryanjlane.com for his photography. If you want to hear his music, it's myspace.com/ryanjlane. I'm doing this all from memory. Hurtbirdmusic.com is where you find Hurt Bird. We look forward to seeing you next week. Brandon, thank you so much for covering for me.
The dude abides.
In the places where I fall down. John, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And we'll look forward to seeing you all next week on The Sprocket. We are back. Oh, should I wait until you... Oh.
you know, let us see. No, uh-oh.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Oh, it went back in.
I didn't see a shadow. Four more weeks of spring.
Four more sneeze weeks management. Of allergies.
Sneeze management is tricky stuff.
Oh, nice.
Not much, just for ornamental.
Dude,
should I keep that or not?
That'd be really good to throw into the credits.
Okay, there we go.